Okay, you know, most of you, mostly probably all of us, right, have, if you've been around church for any number of years, you have heard people say or talk about how good God is, right? You've heard people talk about the goodness of God, about saying how God is good. And, you know, we have said from here many times that, you know, God is good, but that he has... You know, if God is good, so let me put it to you like this. If God is good, then how has God shown us that he's good? You know, when people say, when people talk about the goodness of God, why do they attribute goodness to him, right? And unfortunately, I think many times people say that God is good because good things have occurred to them, right? When people get a promotion, God is good. When people get a raise, God is good. When you get healed, you know, God is good. When you avoid a car accident, God is good. So they attribute goodness to God in many different ways, right? And then there's an entire camp that believes that goodness is something that God gives conditionally, right? So if we're good, we receive good. If we're not good, we don't receive good. But you don't. So what we really want to do is just really understand why is it that God is good? What is it about what he's done that makes him good to us, right? So let's start in James chapter 1. If we can go there real quick. James chapter 1, right? Why is God good? James chapter 1, and let's go to verse 16. Actually, let's go up a little further than 16. Let's look at verse number 12. Right? Verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, and I'm reading here from the King James Version. You know what? Let's switch over to New King James, if that's okay. I think we'll be fine there. Right, so James 1:12, New King James Version. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So that is a clue for us when we talk about the goodness of God. Is a way of the Lord describing his goodness to us is what he's not, right? Or what he doesn't have. So the Lord cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he ever tempt anyone with evil. So if the thought ever entered into the mind of someone that you know, they were just, you know, God was testing them, he put this sinful thing in front of them to see if we would fall into that sin, right? That's not of God. God does not put evil in front of you and say, hey, look, let's see if you're going to do it or if you're not going to do it, right? That's not God. God does not tempt people with evil. So, and God doesn't tempt people with evil, right? Because God is good, right? God is good. So it's not a trait of his personality, is that he is goodness, right? All goodness is of God. All goodness is of God. So he says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now, it's an important thing to note there, just from that last little bit that is there. He talks about what is birth from, what is birth, or what is conceived, right? What is birth and what is conceived? In other words, what comes from? Actually, you know what? I'll leave that rest right there. Just let's keep going. Verse number 16. Do not be deceived. So there's something that the Lord is telling us here in verse number 16. He talks about evil never coming from God, right? So let's just, from everything we just read above that, let's just take that for a second right there as a little nugget from what he said there. Evil doesn't come from God, right? So that means that if evil doesn't come from God, what comes from God? That which is good. But what I want you to hear is not just the word good. I want you to hear that it comes from God, right? good comes from God, and that's going to be important in a second. So evil doesn't come from God. In other words, evil does not come from heaven, right? But good does. Good does, right? And in verse number 16, he says, don't be deceived. In other words, there is a deception in believing that evil comes from God, right? He says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good, so that means everything that is good, and I'm not talking about what people think is good, right? Because remember, we said before, if you get a promotion, it's good, right? But you can get a promotion sometimes and it's bad. But you don't know that because you think it's good, right? So I'm not talking about your or my carnal definition or the world's carnal definition of good. I'm talking about what is actually good. What is actually good is always perfect. In other words, if God says to you that you have something that is good, it's always good. Always good. What God calls good never is good today, but not good tomorrow. What God says is good, you can take it any day of the week and it's always good, right? But sometimes when the things of this world change, right? So what is good today may not be good tomorrow. What is bad today may actually be good tomorrow, right? So that changes all the time. So it's not men's definition of good. It's what God says is good, right? Is always good. It's always good. So he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift, that means that which is complete, that which is whole, everything that is good and that is perfect, right, is from above. That's an important thing to understand. It's from above. In other words, it's heavenly. Everything that is good comes from heaven. Everything that is good comes from heaven, right? These are important things that we're touching on, right? Everything that is good is from above and comes down. Everything that is good is of heaven and comes down. Good is not born on earth. Good comes down, right? Good comes down. It is not on earth, right? Good was not on earth by itself. Good came down. That's an important thing, right? Every good, and he says, don't be deceived, right? Don't be deceived. Because there are many people who believe that they are good, right? Without having received from heaven. They believe themselves to be good. That's erroneous, right? That's erroneous. You cannot be good without receiving. In other words, if good comes from heaven and you don't receive from heaven, then how can there be good in you? And I get it. I totally get it. There's this humanistic, because humanistic meaning a human natural way of thinking that says that people, you know, there's good in everyone. That's not true. I know you're used to hearing it. I know Hollywood tells you that. I know the world teaches you that. I'm not talking about what the world teaches you or what Hollywood says. I'm saying, what does God say? God says that without him bringing good, there is no good in anyone, right? He said, no, not even one. And we'll read that, right? Actually, let me read it to you right now, and then we'll come back to James, right? Romans chapter 3, let me read that to you real quick. Romans chapter 3, 10, and then we'll come back. Romans 3, 10, he said, as it is written, there is none righteous, right? And Pastor Mike was just talking about righteousness, you know, in the service before. It may be called, is it Unsealed Part 2 or something like that, right? Unsealed Part 2, right? There is none righteous. In other words, there are none that are right. None that are right by themselves, right? There are none that are right, no, not even one. So again, some of these things are gonna go cross-grained to what you hear. So what I'm asking is not that you would hear something to see if it matches what you think you know. I'm saying let's just go with what God says and forget anything that anyone has ever told us. So let's say that God is right, if we believe this, right, which I believe all of us here believe that, and most of those that are listening also believe it, right, if not all, that God is good and men lie. God cannot lie, but men can lie. Men can lie knowingly and men can lie unknowingly. That means that sometimes men say things that they believe to be true but are lies, right? Doesn't mean that you meant to lie, it's just that you think something is true and it's not true. So if you say something that is not true, but you say it as fact and as truth, that means it's a lie. But did you mean to lie? No. Is it a lie? Yes. So to say that someone lies does not mean to insult them, it's just you said an untruth. So if that makes everybody feel better, let's say that men can say untruth, but God can never say an untruth, right? God can never say an untruth. So there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all, every single person, they have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. There is none who does good, none. Without receiving good, which comes from heaven, none can do good. None can do good and none are good, because goodness is of heaven, right? Goodness is a heavenly thing. That's why goodness as a fruit is of the Spirit and not of men, because by yourself, you would not be good. And I say would not be good because you are, right? So you may not be able by yourself to produce good, but if you are His, you are already good. You're not getting good. You're not getting good, and I get it, because you think and people think that you're good when you do good things. I don't care if you don't even know that goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. If you are God's and His Spirit lives in you, you are good whether you know that you're good or not. Just like you are righteous if you don't even know fully about righteousness, and you think that righteousness is something that you can lose and get or whatever, but you are already righteous. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you are righteous and you are good, and all of those things are in you. Just like you have eternal life in you, but so in other words, I didn't start receiving life when I see it. I didn't start receiving righteousness when I see right things coming out of me. Goodness does not become a reality in me when I start seeing goodness, right? Right? So he says, no, not one. Let's go back now. Let's go back. So we've established that God is good. And the funny thing is, to most people, that would seem like the most basic, ridiculous things to teach on, right? That God is good. But we're going to talk a second about why He's good, but He is. So we're going to give a reason behind that later on, but He is good. So I think we know that we may not, everyone listening to this may not be established in why He's good, but He is good. Probably all Christians would agree with that God is good. Not sure exactly why everybody would. There's different reasons why people think He's good, but He is good, right? So if we go back to James, look at verse 16 again. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Again, that's such an important thing, the word deceived, right? A person is deceived when they think something is right, but it's not, right? When they think something is right, but it's not. Right? Let me give you a little thing. It says, you've heard this. Oh, karma, right? Anybody ever heard the word karma before? Right? Karma is actually a very popular word, unfortunately, even in the ridiculous sayings of even Christians, right? Karma. They don't even know what the heck they're talking about. They don't even know fully what they're saying. People have accepted karma like it's a spiritual thing, right? I want to tell you this, and I'm going to explain myself a little bit later, right? Karma is not of God, right? The way the world describes here karma, it's not of God. Actually, it's anti-Christ. Karma is antichrist. And if karma for some reason sounded good in your ears, that's a little bit of an issue, right? That's a problem, because we haven't understood, right, why God is good if you think karma is a good thing, right? So actually, a lot of times karma, people talk about good karma, bad karma, right? In other words, what they're talking about is getting paid with good and getting paid with bad. In other words, you're being repaid for what you do, right? Being repaid for what you do. And maybe they talk about karma is like the universe giving it to you, because we don't want to say God, so now people say the universe, right? Like the universe is a person. Like the universe is doing this to you, right? They want to give it an identity because they don't want to address Him anymore as God, right? Because they've turned away from Him. Anyway, so do not be deceived, verse 16. Deception means you're believing something to be right, but it's actually in error, right? Is everyone who, if someone is deceived about something, are they evil? If someone is deceived by something, are they of the devil? No, you can be saved and be deceived, right? You can be saved and believe in Jesus and have certain thoughts in your mind that you think are right but are wrong. That's called deception, right? If you didn't think it was right, you wouldn't be deceived. You would just be loving what's wrong, right? But there are people that say things that are wrong, right? But yet, that are right, but they are actually wrong. They're incorrect. They're not according to Christ, right? Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. And he's talking there about saints saved, right? He says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren, right? He's talking about the brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, so we know that it comes from heaven, it's heavenly, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So that means, again, that what God has given is always good because He never changes. Therefore, if God never changes, everything that He gives is unchanging. Everything that is from God, can we understand that, right? Everything that is from God is eternal, right? and is unchanging. It is always good. So if goodness comes from God, it doesn't matter if it's 1819 or if it's 2021. In the year 1819, what God said was good then. And what God said was good in 1819, in 2021, is still good. Even if it's the year 3021, it's still good, right? Because God never changes. There is no variableness. There is no changing. There is no shadow of turning, right? What God says is always the same. Always the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever, right? Always the same. But the cool thing about this, it says that everything good is from heaven, and everything, listen, everything that is good came down. Now let me show you something. I'll finish reading for you verse 18, and then we'll keep going. He says, there's no variation or shadow of turning, verse 17, and then 18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits. So what he's really saying there is this. And let me ask you this. Do you think it's kind of interesting that God is talking about goodness, and then he said that he bore you, right? What the heck do you have to do with what he was just talking about? He's talking about he's talking about temptation. He's talking about sin, right? And then he says, that doesn't come from me. And then he says, don't be deceived. Everything that's good comes from me. Look at that picture. Can we paint a little bit? Try to paint and let the Lord paint in your brain. I said everything good comes from me. Everything good comes from where? From me, he said. Everything good comes from me. Everything good comes from me, right? Everything good is born of me. And then he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Everything good is heavenly. Evil doesn't come from me. Everything that is good comes from me. And then he says, and you came from me, right? What is he calling you then? He's calling you good, right? Because first he said that he sent good. He said, evil doesn't come from me. Everything good came down from me, right? Came down from me. So we'll see in a second, but obviously I'm giving you a lot of the punchline, right? The one that came down from heaven was Jesus. He said himself, I have come down from the Father, right? So that's when good came down, right? Evil was already present. Good came down, and then he said, and then you came from me too, right? So he essentially is saying that you are good. Before, there were none that were good. That's not the case now. Before on earth, there were none that were good. No, not even one. That's not the case today, right? But what we do not acknowledge, what Christians have not learned, I should say, to acknowledge, is that they are good. Most Christians would be afraid to say that about themselves. I'm good. I mean, like, I can say about myself today in front of all of you, right? I can say, I am good through and through. I'm good. And there is no evil in me. I am good through and through, and there is no evil in me. There is an unrenewed mind, right? But that is not evil present in me, right? Inside of me is everything that is good is on the inside of me. Everything that is good is on the inside of me. That's why the Lord teaches us, right, in Philemon to say that we should acknowledge all the good that is in us in Christ Jesus, right? That we would learn to do that. That we would learn to acknowledge the goodness in us, right? That we would but why is it that so many Christians are not acknowledging the goodness in us? They're trying to be good. Why? Because they haven't acknowledged the goodness that's in them, right? Philemon chapter 1, verse number 6, that the sharing of your faith, right, or that the communication of your faith, or that the faith that you have would become effectual, right, would be seen outwardly through the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Christians are not living their lives, right, by the Spirit, right? They're trying to perfect themselves by the flesh. Why? Because they don't acknowledge that they are good. They're still, listen, of course, I mean, we all should raise up our hands and say, of course that makes sense, because if you don't think you're good, you're going to try to be good. If you don't think you've arrived, you're going to try to travel. You're going to keep driving. You're not good. You have to try to be good. The Lord is teaching you the exact opposite. Acknowledge the goodness in you, right? And the faith that you have in Jesus, which is why you have received the goodness of God, because the goodness of God is Christ in you, right? Don't be deceived. The goodness of God that you possess is because he's in you, right? The righteousness that that you possess is because he is your righteousness, right? Everything that you've been given is given to you in Christ because of what he's done, right? So if we were to acknowledge the goodness we have, why would you try to be good if you possess goodness, right? Why would you try to love if you have love, right? I don't have to try to love someone, right? I have love in me, and that could be a fruit. In other words, the Lord desires for us to be fruitful, not to work. You know why? Because if you work, then you are a karma individual, right? You believe in karma. Which karma, I want to just describe or define for us karma, right? Karma is indebtedness. That's it. Plain and simple, for anyone that either believes in karma or doesn't or whatever, karma is just indebtedness, right? And if I am good and therefore I deserve good karma from God, and the world will say from the universe, which is stupid anyway, but if I believe that karma, right, good karma is owed to me, right, it's because I did something good. So in other words, karma comes from your actions. Bad karma comes from bad actions, right? But so that you see the ridiculousness in that is that it comes from an ingrained thought that says you can be good without Jesus, that you can be good without Jesus. And I'm not just adding that, I'm saying that emphatically, right? People think that they can be good without Jesus. They don't believe that without Jesus they can do nothing. They believe that without Jesus they can be good. That is an individual who doesn't believe that they are slaves, who doesn't believe that they need to be free, who doesn't believe that they need the liberty that Christ came to bring them, right? They don't believe they need to be free because they don't believe that they are captive, right? The Pharisees said that to Jesus, right? Why are you saying that we need to be free? The truth will set us free. Why? We haven't been captive ever to anyone. A person, see, again, the things that I'm telling you now are fact. People that believe in karma, right, you can be saved and have a dumb mentality about karma, but I want to define for you what you're thinking. You're believing that if you do something right, God is indebted to you. Because let's just put it out there plain, right? The one we're saying repays us is God. There is nobody else that could repay you, right? It's not like if you do good to someone and they do something good to you, anybody can do that, right? You could even not have God and repay somebody good because they did good to you, right? So I'm not talking about indebtedness among men, right? Like I buy you a Christmas gift, you're indebted to buy me one, even though you don't have to, but because I bought you one, you're gonna buy me one. I'm not talking about that kind of indebtedness, right? I'm talking about indebtedness to the universe, quote unquote, or God, right? That people believe that if I do good, God is indebted to me. God is indebted never to any man. God cannot be put in debt, right? Right? He is indebted to no one, not for good, right? In other words, there is nothing that we would ever do that could ever put us in debt to God. But here's why, though, too. Because as far as God is concerned, there is no good without Jesus. Because good, and I'm going to back that up again with what we just learned, right? Because good comes from heaven. Good does not exist on earth without it coming from heaven. Good came down, right? Jesus said, I have come down from my Father. Right? He says, I was sent. So good came down. Without good having come down, there were none that are good. We would have still just been guilty in our sin. No, not one, right? But good is heavenly. Good, he said, be not deceived, right? Be not deceived. So that means that there are tons of people deceived about this one truth, right? Tons of people deceived that believe that good is on earth without Christ. No, none are good. Does that mean that there was never somebody who helped somebody cross the street? That there was never a person that held the hand of another blind individual? That there was no one ever that gave and baked a pie for their neighbor? That's not what God is talking about. He's saying, without me, there is no goodness in you. Because Paul said it very well in Romans chapter 7, right? Let me bring you there. Romans chapter 7, so you can see it, right? In other words, this is a description of someone without Christ. And Paul was one of the ones that said that before the law, he was alive, right? That before the law, right, he looked at himself. Before the law, before knowing what Jesus taught him, Saul, which was his name at the time, he thought himself to be good. Saul was circumcised on the eighth day, right? Saul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. right? Saul said that, you know, everything that he looked at his past, if you asked him, Saul, do you consider yourself to be a good? Actually, most people wouldn't even ask Saul if he was good. Most people would just say, that's a good man, right? How many times have you heard people say this about themselves? You know, or even said to someone else, you know what, you're a good man. Or a wife say to her husband, you're a good man. Or a man say to his wife, you're a good woman, right? The reality of the fact is that without Christ, there are none that are good. That has to be a fact that we allow the Lord to teach us. Without Christ, there are none that are good. Lord, can there be anyone good without you? The answer is no. Can there be any goodness without you? No, right? We would all be dead. Without Christ, we would all be dead. Dead, or every single person, if they hadn't already physically died, they were headed to death, right? None good. And actually, the interesting thing is, while we're just on the topic of death, that in Deuteronomy, he says, today I set before you, right? Today I set before you life and goodness. Life and goodness, right? Deuteronomy, that was like Deuteronomy, I think I find, Deuteronomy 30:15 says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Life and good, death and evil. If you receive life, right, you have been made good. You have received good, because where does goodness come from? From heaven. How did God send? How did God make for good to come down? That's apparent, right? The Lord said, he said, I have come from my Father. Goodness came to the earth when Christ came down. Right? Goodness came to the earth, right, and was made available for a person to be made good, right? To be made righteous. When? When was goodness made available? There was none good before. You couldn't go to Walmart and get good. You couldn't go to Target and buy good. Without Christ, there was no good. It was unavailable. It was out of stock. Goodness was out of stock across the earth. When God sent goodness, then it became available to everyone. Then it became available to everyone, but it was available now without price. But people today still are looking to pay for good. They want to do something to earn good, to get good, right? That's why it is anti-Christ. That's why karma is anti-Christ, right? Because people want to be good to receive good from heaven. But God sent down good while we were all still bad. God sent good from heaven when we were all still sinners, still all bad. He sent good when we were bad. So if he sent good when we were bad, how can we be good to get good when he sent good when we were bad? He already sent good when you were bad. All you have to do is receive the goodness of God, which Romans 5:17 says that if we receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, we reign in life, right? You receive the abundance of grace is all the goodness of God, right? Everything that God freely gave you, which includes goodness, right? He says, I set before you today life and good. If you have life in you, right? If you have the eternal life of God in you, then you are good. If you don't have the eternal life of God in you, you are not good. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. We're not saying, what do you think about yourself? We're saying, what does God think about you? Numbers. Let's look at this for a second. We just said right now what God thinks about you, right? Numbers 23. So Balaam is hired by Balak. I think I got that. Sometimes I get those B names mixed up and I think it's Balaam and Balak, but Balaam was hired by Balak, right? And he was hired by him to curse the people of Israel, right? Balak was just tired of these people prospering and multiplying like insects, right? I mean, they were just taking over. They were prospering, right? They were prospering. God, and unbeknownst to him, though, it was God prospering them, right? Prospering, multiplying them, right? Everything of them. They. So the fear was that they would come in and then they would just take over, right? That was a lot of the fear even of Egypt, right? So numerous, the people so numerous, right? But God says, so when this man goes to curse them, what he basically says is, listen, God has blessed them. I can't curse something God has blessed, right? I can't curse something God has blessed. There goes the dumb thinking of people that thinks that somebody can put a whammy on you. You're a Christian and somebody can kind of curse you or put some kind of spell on you and now you're under the spell of the world. Listen, you are blessed whether you know it or not. You are blessed whether you walk consciously on this earth, conscious of your blessing. You are blessed no matter what because it is what God says you are. God cannot lie. Men can lie. Men can lie. When there is a dispute between what God says and men says, God is always right. Men are always wrong. Always wrong. Men are always wrong. Men interpret things all kinds of different ways. The confusion in the church today is because there is a multiplicity of ways that people interpret everything. That's why the church is confused. There is one right answer. There is one right interpretation or one right meaning behind what God wrote, right? Things are scripture is written for an express purpose, right? But people interpret it different ways. Why? So here's the truth. If what God meant by what he wrote, anything outside of that is all wrong. It's all wrong, right? I mean, we get it. There are different, for lack of a better word right now, different layers. In other words, you can see different truths about the same one. You can see different truths, different layers about the same one. But it doesn't mean one layer testifies about Jesus and the other one doesn't, right? Any layer found in Scripture does the same thing. It testifies about Jesus. If what you're seeing in Scripture is not testifying about the one, you're wrong, right? If it's contrary to what God is saying, man is always wrong. Between the two, man is always wrong. And actually, sorry, if we can go to verse 19, I told you 23. You're in 30:15. You're in Deuteronomy. So I didn't give you a verse already. Numbers 23, verse 19. He says it plain as day right there. Numbers 23, verse 19 said, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. That means he's always right. With God, there is no variableness. There is no shadow of turning. There is no changing with God. He's always good and he's always right. He has always been good and he has always been right. Always, right? Always. Nor a son of man, which is a human being, a son of man, one born of Adam, right? That he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? We were talking about people believing themselves to be good, right? We have to judge. We learn and have been learning in this church, right? And we learn by the Lord that we need to be able to judge righteously. We need to be able to judge by the mind of Christ, by the Spirit of God in us, to see things as they are, right? Not according to our opinion, because we want to sugarcoat something that's actually black, right? If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. If it's of God, it's of God. If it's not of God, it's not of God. Can Christian, God-fearing men do something that is not of God? Sure they can. And don't be afraid to call something not of God when it's not of God. When I say that somebody says something that is not of God, I have said things before that are not of God, and I am not of the devil. Therefore, people can say things that are not of God, and they are dead wrong, right? They are just wrong. Why? Because it is not truth. If it's not truth, it is a lie. Right? God can't do it. Men can do that. God can't do it. Christians can do that. Can Christians lie? Yes. Can God lie? No. Never. God never lies, right? In verse number 21, it says, he has blessed, verse 20. Thank you, Andre. Verse 20, behold, I have received the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So that's what Balaam is saying. He says, God has blessed. In other words, I have asked God, and he has told me that he has blessed these people. Therefore, me saying, no, you're not, he says, does not do anything. Right? In other words, they're not going to be cursed. Like, Balak, you want them to be cursed. You want me to cast some curse upon them. And what I'm telling you is that if I curse them, it doesn't work. Right? Because why? Because God has blessed them. So what God says about an individual is more real and truth. It is truth, regardless of what that person thinks, right? Balak had a different view of the people than God did. Balak thought you could say curse them and they're cursed. But what he doesn't understand that if God says they're blessed even if they don't even know that they're blessed, right? But you read that and you say, yeah, but the people of Israel are blessed. Weren't they just doing this thing wrong and that thing wrong? Doesn't matter what you saw them do. Doesn't matter what you see me do. It doesn't matter what you see yourself do. If God has said that you are blessed regardless of what you think about yourself, right? You are good regardless of how much good you see coming out of you, right? Because we have learned to be people that think that we have to learn to be good, but you don't acknowledge the good that is in you, right? You have to know that you are good, right? And you will, by the Spirit of God, show forth goodness, right? But you are not good when you start seeing goodness, right? You did not get the power of God towards healing when you were healed. You have had the power of God to healing dormant on the inside of you for years, right? Just sitting in there is what I mean by dormant, right? Just sitting in there. Sitting in there. You have the power of wealth to you, even if you're dirt poor and are gonna get foreclosed on your house, right? You have the power to wealth sitting right there on the inside of you. The fact that you don't use it doesn't mean you don't have it, right? What we receive from God does not come when you see it, right? What you receive from what you have in you, right? But that's not when you got it, right? You didn't become good when you saw good. You became good when you received Christ, right? Because by him is why you have been made good, right? So he says, look at verse 20 again. He says, behold, I have received the command to bless. He has blessed, speaking of God, I cannot reverse it. Verse 21, he has not observed. God says about his people, I haven't even seen. I have not even seen iniquity in Jacob, right? Right? That's a picture of the church. He says, I have not even seen iniquity in the church. I have not even seen iniquity, nor have I even seen wickedness in Israel. God says this about the church today, right? And has always said it about his church, right? I have not even seen wickedness in them. I have not even observed iniquity, right? Why? Because what he sees is good. God saw, when you were born of God, when you were born of God, when you were made a new what? Can somebody help me? When you were made a new what? A new creation. A new what? Creation. What did God say in Genesis? God saw what he had made, and he said that it was good. Good. Because everything that God makes is what? Good. If you're born of Adam, you are not good, because that's not of God, right? Because every person born in this world is not of God, right? Just because you were born, right, and you have life on this earth, you were dying from the minute you were born. You started to die the minute you were born, you started to die. The minute you were born. Because there was a law that you just walked into, right? You walked into, right? You walked into a what? A law of sin and of death. A law of sin and death. Without Christ, all you have is a sinful nature without him. You walked into that. You didn't do it. You didn't become sinful when you did something wrong. You became a sinner when you breathed your first breath. When you were in your mother's womb. When you were in your mother's womb, right? You were already sinful and you hadn't even done anything right or wrong. God saw Jacob and Esau, and before they were ever even born, he said, I hated one and I loved the one. Before they were ever even born, before they even had an opportunity to work. Why? Because God says goodness does not come because you work. If it is of work, then it is not of grace. If you work, it is not of grace, right? You know what that's a way of saying? If you work, it is not from me. If you work, it is not of me. Any good that you see from your own work is not of me. Now, there is a goodness that you can see in the life of a Christian that is of God, and you will never and will never have to work for that good because you already possess it. You understand how ridiculous it is? How ridiculous is it for you to work for good when you have good? Your work is in vain because you've already received good. So you're working for no reason. You're working for no reason. You've received the Spirit of God. You have received all goodness, right? And all of it because what Christ has done. He said, goodness has to come down from heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, he said, I have come down from the Father. I have come down from the Father. He says, you are of this world. I am not of this world, right? Jesus said, you are of this world, speaking to the Pharisees. He said, I'm not of this world. What did he say, I believe, in John 17? He said, Father, I go back to you. I go back to you. He said, Lord, and he said, I am not of this world, just as they are not of this world either. He said, they are not of this world like I'm not of this world. God saw when you were made a new creation, you know what God said when you were born? He looked at you, freshly made a new creation. And you know what he said? That's good. That's good. And you know what we have done in our stupidity? God has made something good, and what God has made good, we're trying to make gooder. We're trying to make it better, right? Like, what God made good, we think we can make better. What God made good, we think we can make better. Where's the error? We have not acknowledged the good in us. We're still trying to be good. Because from our childhood, right? We hear, and I say it to my little grandson all the time, you're a good boy. You're a good boy. The reality is, right, mom and dad, without hurting your feelings, right, that right now he's not good, right? He's not good because in him is no goodness right now. There will be a day when he will be good, right? But we call him a good boy because he does good things. But you sure as heck don't call him a good boy when he doesn't do a good thing, right? Because we judge goodness by action. We judge goodness by action. God judges goodness by what Jesus Christ finished. He said, that is good, and when you receive that goodness, now you're good. And when the day you are made a new creation, it is impossible for God to lie, and it is impossible for God to make something that is not good. God cannot create something and it not be good, right? God cannot create something and it not be good. That's why essentially when God created everything that God made, he said was good. Everything that God created, he said was good. Men then changed the image of God for the image of worldly things, right? But what God made is good. When you were made a new creation, you were made good. When God makes a new heaven and a new earth, you know what he would look and say at it again? He will look at it and say, that's good. The world you see around you right now is not good. It's not good. You can go to Hawaii and see the most beautiful things that you think you can see, and you're not beholding goodness. You're beholding something that is corrupt and is dying, right? You can drive around Sullivan County and see the wondrous mountains and the colors of all the changing leaves, but all you're beholding is something that is decaying and dying and has to go to sleep to come up again, right? But the things that are heavenly, there's no leaves changing in heaven because there's no death in heaven, right? Good comes down. And if we can put it like this, goodness came down. Goodness came down already from the Father, right? Goodness came down from the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Goodness came down from the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When the Lord looks at you, And just, you know, it's funny because it almost seems like a downer when somebody says to you, you know what, without Jesus, you can do nothing. There are none that are good, no, not one. But there's a quick fix for that. In other words, there is an unburdensome way to fix that, right? Is when you receive the goodness that God sent down, then you then are made good. And God looks in you and he says, that which I have made is good. God can say that about everything that he makes, right? If something is of God, it is good. So you can look at another Christian and say, you know what? You're good. You're good. You may not always manifest the goodness that you possess. But that's why goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness. So if you can take this, right, in closing here, if you can take this, if you can allow the Lord to teach you about his goodness, right, if you can allow the Lord to teach you that every good comes from heaven, and that goodness came down and was made available to every single person in Christ Jesus, right? When he finished the work of the Father, he made goodness available to every single one. In other words, that goodness came down and he became available to every single one of us. So since we know that goodness came down and we know that the only one that has come from the Father is Jesus Christ. There have been none else before Christ that came from him. Any that came before him and said that they came and were born of God, right, were not of God, because he has always been the firstborn of the Father. Always been the firstborn of the Father. Now we, in turn, though, so listen, just when we say then, when we say, you know what, God is good, let the Lord remind you, whenever you say, you know what, God is so good, Lord, you've made me the same way. When you behold the goodness of God, you're beholding your goodness as in a mirror. When you behold the goodness of God, when you behold the goodness of God in Christ, when you behold the goodness of God in Christ, right, you're beholding your goodness as in a mirror. When you say that God is good because you got a raise, you're looking at the wrong mirror. You got some other mirror over here, right? And that's not, you'll never see yourself good. If your definition of goodness or when God is good is when something happens to you, you understand why that's such a lame definition? It's such a lame definition because the reason why it is so anti-Christ is because you're not looking at Jesus. When you get a raise, you're not looking at Jesus, you're just happy because you got more money, right? But the goodness of God, the goodness of God. Now you can receive obviously a raise, right, because of the power of wealth towards you. But when you say God is good, the only way to correctly say that he is good is to be beholding the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, the one that you're beholding, it's not that you're seeing his physical face, right? It's not that you know what he looks like and you know if he has high cheekbones or low cheekbones. Is that not whether he has a square chin or a pointy chin? Is that you're looking at who he is, right? Who he is and what he has, right? And if you see the Lord is good, he said, there are those that taste and see that the Lord is good. The only way to taste and see that the Lord is good is to see Jesus, right? When people begin, when they begin their walk of faith and they begin to be taught Jesus, they begin to see, Lord, that's why you are good, because goodness came down, right? Goodness came down from heaven. Everything that is good is in Christ. Everything that is good in heaven. Everything that makes heaven work perfectly. Everything that makes everything live the right way and not die. Everything that makes everything work like clockwork in heaven, right? Everything that makes everything live precisely and eternally in heaven is found in Christ. And that is in you. When we learn to become people that acknowledge every good thing, which a better way of saying that is acknowledging all the good that is in you in Christ, you will come to the conclusion after beholding Christ for a while that you will say, oh my gosh, I'm good. I didn't know that, right? Like, I didn't know that I was already good. If I'm already good, I don't have to try to be good. I can just continually acknowledge every good thing that is in me in Christ, right? It's like trying to be righteous, right? It's like trying to be righteous having already been made righteous, right? You don't have to try to achieve a righteousness that is through your actions, through the law, right? But you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You have been made good in Christ, right? You have been made good in Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
ReformInUs.com